back together again. You and I chatting it up on a Monday of a brand new week, September 8th, 2025, on Connecticut Today, where I took a look at a recent CT Insider investigation into some high-dollar state employees who work remotely and reside outside of the state of Connecticut. State House Republican leader Vin Candelora stopped by to chat about rumors now that some state pension investment money might be used to buy a chunk of the WNBA's Connecticut Sun and keep the franchise from moving out of the state.
And I think a lot of us know that COVID-19 and that whole ridiculous, despicable realignment we did during COVID that started back in late 2019 and early 2020, that did a lot of things to our lives. And what the whole COVID thing did to a point was realign the idea of where we have to work from. Do we have to work here and there and everywhere? And can we just stay home? Or can we work out of state? And listen, I'll be the first one to admit that occasionally, although I like to come here in the studio, it's best for everything. You know, occasionally I do this show. It's pretty rare, though. It's maybe a handful of times a year. For whatever reason, I will do this show from my condo, from home. I have a remote unit, enough computer setups. I have a little home studio there. I have the sound baffling. And I would hazard to say, and I've had people tell me, hey, you were home the other day. You mentioned you were home. You sounded like you were right in the studio. Yeah, that's the whole point. So I can do this show from home, okay? My weekend job, a lot of you know what I do for the weekend. I telecommute that. I don't traipse my merry way into New York City anymore. So I am not in any way, shape, or form, in any what, how, or wherefore, against remote work. I think remote work's great. If you can do it well, if you survive the not having the office experience, if it's okay with your boss, if you have a mutual understanding, maybe it's not 5 days a week. I know some people in this business have it written into their contracts. Hey, I'll do my show from home 4 days a week. I want every Friday I'll work at the station 4 days a week. I want every Friday from my house or every Monday from my house, wherever. But again, the point is that's agreed upon. And more importantly, usually, not always, but you're usually doing that remote work. Again, not always, but you're usually doing it from the same geographical state that your business is in. Usually, not all the time, but you are. So the idea of remote work is generally okay. Even the idea of what they used to call residency requirements, right? There was a big thing at one time where cities and towns said, well, if you want to work for our municipal operations here, you got to live in the city or town. And they got rid of that because basically a lot of cities and towns didn't have the amount of workers. What am I driving at here? Apparently, there is something going on here with state of Connecticut employees. In other words, employees that we're not talking about contractors here. We're not talking about vendors where the state is contracting somebody in New York or Massachusetts to do something. State of Connecticut employees getting paid, well, you know, some pretty big money here. And they take our tax money. And they work from out of state. They work and they live out of state. Oh, yeah. How about that? Story here from the Connecticut Insider. They give one example. A top official at the state's Office of Policy and Management, OPM, earned over $140,000 last year with the state's blessing, mostly working remotely from his home in Philadelphia. So you had, look, I don't besmirch anybody who takes an agreement, right? Who takes an agreement that is mutually agreed upon. As long as it's within the parameters of the law and the state of Connecticut says, hey, if you want to be a state employee and live in and work from another state, I'm not going to blame you for saying yes, but is it morally right? How about this? The entire staff of the Connecticut Paid Leave Authority. They buy commercial time here on WICC every so often. We thank them for that. But how about this, Maud? The entire staff of the Connecticut Paid Leave Authority, which administers the state's medical leave insurance program, works remotely. Why? Because the department doesn't have a centralized office. While most work from within Connecticut, others are scattered between Texas and Maine. Now, ostensibly, if somebody is smart, you don't care where they work, right? And I don't either, frankly. If somebody does well by the state of Connecticut and they're in Alaska, it shouldn't matter if they do the job, but there is an aspect here that I think you have to look at if you're going to be consistent about this. And it has to do with money, and it has to do where money is spent. And it has to do with, again, this notion that we supposedly have the best and the brightest in this state, and yet maybe we don't. I don't know. So look, I'm going to come back on the other half of this break here and tell you what the big problem is in my eye. But we start with this. We start with a simple question. Should Connecticut state employees, we're not talking about vendors, we're not talking about contract people, should Connecticut state employees being paid with my tax money and with your tax money be allowed to work from and live in another state? I say a big fat no to that. I do. Where are you spending your money? We'll talk about that more coming up right here. What do you think? Should state employees being paid with Connecticut tax dollars be allowed to live in and work from another state? And you know what my opinion is here on this whole thing? If you're going to be paid high five figures, low to mid six figures by the state of Connecticut, I think the majority of that money should be spent in the state of Connecticut if we're talking about state taxpayer money. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And again, a good piece of journalism here by the Hearst people, CT Insider, paid by Connecticut Living Elsewhere. Hundreds of state employees work remotely from other states. We're not talking about working remotely from a location here in Connecticut. That's not the issue. If you're a state employee and you can work remotely from Wallingford, okay, you're in the state. You're spending the money that us taxpayers pay you to buy ostensibly stuff here in Connecticut. The money that the state does pay kind of stays in the system, lubricates the gears, right? Well, you work for the corrections department, but you just do IT stuff, and you work from your home in Stamford or in Groton. You only have to go to the DOC office in Hartford or wherever corrections is once a week. Okay, that's fine. You're in Connecticut. But we're paying people to live in Philadelphia and be a state employee? Really? Startling thing here, this thing, and Paul in Trumbull, hang on, you'll lead this off here. Hold on. Get this, folks. Now, what is Connecticut noted for? I know pizza, the nutmeg state, the Constitution state. What, Connecticut, I guess, is still considered the home state for what industry? Come on. Think insurance, right? There's a reason the Boston sports writers call Hartford America's filing cabinet. From the days when the Patriots, when we all thought the Patriots were going to move to Adrian's Landing. And I think it was Bob Ryan or somebody, or Dan Shaughnessy at the Globe said, there's no way the NFL is moving the Pats to America's filing cabinet. But I digress. So how about this? The entire staff of the Connecticut Paid Leave Authority, which administrates the state's medical leave insurance, works remotely because the department does not have a centralized office. Most of the work is from within Connecticut, but other people who work for an insurance plan in the insurance capital of the galaxy are in Texas and Maine. I'm sorry, I have a problem with that. I'm not doing this just to stir things up. Again, there's a difference between working remotely from within the borders of the great sovereign state of Connecticut and keeping the tax revenue that I and you pay people here, and we're nothing against Texas, nothing against Maine. Really? We have to employ people on the state dole in Texas and in Maine because we don't have enough minds about the insurance industry in Connecticut? Oh, come on. For freak's sake. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. CT Insider found that at least 248 state employees are allowed to work remotely from other states, with about two dozen workers listing addresses beyond Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and New York. Some are working in Philadelphia. Must be nice. Man, I got it. Yes, this bothers me. Oh, it's only 200 people. No, but don't we always hear, well, we have to raise the minimum wage because, you know, it stays in the local economy. Okay, shouldn't our tax money stay in the local economy? Just saying, we can't find people here in the state of Connecticut to do this stuff? Well, Paul, you're saying that just because somebody lives in Pennsylvania, they shouldn't work for the state? Yes, that is precisely and exactly what I'm saying. We'll kick it off today with Paul in Trumbull. Paul, good afternoon, sir. You're first up. How are you?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey.
You know, you've got your own view on it, but you know what my view is? These people were hired by the state due to their abilities, and really it doesn't make a damn bit of difference where they're living. If they're doing their job and they're producing for the state, I know you're talking about, well, let's keep the money back
exactly,
in the state.
Exactly, exactly.
But I understand that, but, you know, 240 people out of maybe, what, 10,000 state employees?
No, there's way more than 10,000. There's about 35,000 or 40,000.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. You're making a big deal about 240 people.
Yeah.
You know, and to be very honest with you, I don't care. If they can do the job, I don't care if they're, calling in from Fiji.
Well,
as long as they can do the job and the state is satisfied with what they're doing, I really don't care where they're located, to be very honest with you. And you're making a big deal about 240 people out of a state force of close to $40,000, you know. I mean, you know, it makes a nice topic for your show for today, but I really don't think there's anything to it.
Okay, Paul, thank you for the call. Paul, thanks for hanging on. I respectfully disagree. But thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. I'm sure people will look at the numbers and say, yeah, here's my question. There's nobody in the state that can do this. No, seriously. We're always told by, you know, the leadership in Hartford, and we heard this all the time from every governor left to right. Oh, listen, I am not against people working remotely. I'm not. I do it sometimes. I would be a hypocrite to the nth degree if I was against remote work. I'm not. I don't necessarily like doing it. I like being in the office, like being in the studio here, but I digress. And again, to our previous caller, if it wasn't such a big deal, then why is this being looked into? Somebody tipped off somebody. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. You know, a lot of these people are making close to six figures, some way over six figures. So let's see, you've got about 250 people all making about $100,000 a year. That's pretty good. Hey, if you took that tax revenue and sent it back to the states, I don't know. It's not so much a money thing with me on a raw case of money, but we don't have people. How do we not have an office to administer an insurance policy in the freaking insurance capital of the galaxy here in Connecticut? I don't get it. Janice in Trumbull. Janice, before news, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Good, Janice. What's up?
This conversation has kind of not hit a nerve with me, but made me change my tune.
Okay.
I was hiring manager in a pretty large IT department.
Yep.
For quite a few years. It was the insurance industry,
okay,
among other things. And pre-COVID, I was not allowed to interview anyone outside of the Connecticut zip code.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And now, I'm retired, but okay, now, of the five people, because it's a highly specialized department,
mm-hmm,
all of them now live out of state.
Great.
And they're all highly compensated.
Great. Well, so great. Yeah.
They're getting paid, and they're spending their rent money,
yeah,
buying groceries in their own state.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when COVID came and I was allowed to look out of state as a hiring manager, I was like, woohoo. You know, the pool opened for me to find the right candidates. But
yeah,
it's not the right thing. It's ridiculous. You know?
Janice, I do have to run. Thank you so much, Janice. Appreciate it for that. Yeah, I mean, COVID was different. Thank you, Janice. But COVID's done. Stop. What did Janice just say there in her private business? She was not allowed to look outside any of the contiguous Connecticut zip codes. But now, hey, working for the state of Connecticut, hey, why don't, like our previous caller said, let's go hire somebody in Fiji. Who cares where the money's spent? All right, another day, another twist here. Everybody weighing in from all matters, politic and sports, as to what should happen with the Connecticut Sun. Listen, I love women's basketball. I love all sports. You know I'm getting pretty soon. You'll see my ugly mug on TV again. You're doing hockey in the area. So, listen, I love sports. I've been a sports guy ever since I got into this business. But it's a business. It's the entertainment business. And sometimes things work out and sometimes they don't. And how far should the state of Connecticut go with tax money, with pension money, with bonding to keep a team in the state whose parent league doesn't exactly sound anxious to be in the Connecticut market? So, if we go with tax money or pension money, what will lawmakers in Hartford of both parties have to say about it? State House Republican leader Vin Candelora with us. We had Steve Harding on last week. We have Vin today. Vin, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, Vin. All right, Vin, you tell us, what are you hearing on your end? We're seeing pension money. I'm hearing bonding. I'm hearing maybe a budget line, $100 million. Doesn't even know whether the league would approve this. What are your thoughts on this, Vin?
Yeah, I'm worried it could be all the above. You know, it's one thing. You know,
I'm sorry I did the buffet line here, but go ahead. Yeah.
But that sort of seems where it's going. You know, it's not just about investing in a team and getting a minority ownership interest, which it sounds like they would do that through the pension funds. But then you're talking about the infrastructure they need to build out, because they would no longer be at Mohegan Sun. You'd be moving it over to Hartford. And so now I'm hearing practice facility.
Yeah, $100 million
and upgrades.
Bucks. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that would probably require bonding. So all of a sudden, there's this huge investment. And to me, the cart is before the horse. I mean, we need to take a step back. I think this governor has forgotten that we hold this money in public trust for other taxpayers. And before we take a leap, you know, we need to understand, does it make sense? Is there any return on investment?
Yeah.
And those are the things that Democrats don't think about, that they just need to put the brakes on it.
You know, Vin, you and I both know, we've been around the course once or twice. We love sports. We love women's and men's basketball. But a major league, Vin, is a business. And you have, with all due respect to the great state of Connecticut, my home state, I'm not going anywhere as I retire here in a few years. But for corporate advertisers, Vin, and sponsors of these leagues who want audio and video impressions and signage, I'm sorry. They're just from a business standpoint, Vin, Houston, Boston, these teams, or these cities without teams, just makes more sense than Connecticut. It just does.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of our problem. We're sandwiched in between a Boston and a New York that has such a robust market, you know. But I think fundamentally, Connecticut needs to start working on the strengths that we do have in attracting these businesses. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we are in a state that has had no job growth for decades. And we've seen some of our major large corporations leave to those states of Boston and New York. Mm-hmm. So I just wish that we would put more investment into those economic engines. You know, we have to make a return on our pensions. So to be that flippant to pledge our pension accounts without a guaranteed return, we've worked hard to try to bring that pension back into the black. It still mm-hmm. is in the red. You know, so I have a lot of questions. I'm a little frustrated that they're choosing to play this out through the media and not actually coming to legislative leaders and saying, this is an idea we have, can we talk? And so we're left put on the defensive to push back on this proposal. We have just as many questions as the general public does.
So the bonding commission obviously is chaired by statute by the governor. So, you know, could the governor or any governor, likely it'll be Lamont, obviously, because of the time constraints here, can the governor just ramrod this through, Vin? And as far as the state pension fund is for our state workers and investors, who controls that? Who would say, is it Sean Scanlon? Is it Eric Russell? Is there a pension board? How would each one of those alternatives, Vin, work?
Yeah, I mean, so it is Eric Russell who makes the investments. You know, in terms of the bonding, it would have to go through the legislature. I don't think the governor could find a chunk of money somewhere. It needs to be in an appropriated account. So depending on the dollar amount, he can't just create it. If it's a larger amount, smaller amounts, he may be able to just find it in an account to make mm-hmm. it fit. But in terms of the pension, it points to a bigger question.
Yeah.
If this investment is made, you know, we are unique in this state. A, we have our treasurer who's elected.
Yeah.
And B, there's a non-binding advisory board for our pensions.
That's so what I was wondering. I think.
So I think Eric Russell has the sole discretion to make this investment. And, you know, we've had legislation. I know Ryan Fazio had championed a legislation to try to have an advisory board that mm-hmm. is essentially does the investing for the state of Connecticut, especially since we have so many successful hedge funds down in Greenwich. You know, that legislation has never advanced forward. Yeah. And so the treasurer is the sole arbiter of this money. And I got to believe he's going to take it seriously because he doesn't want that authority taken away from him. He's done a good job in investing in our pensions in the past. So, you know, wanting a basketball team probably isn't the reason to be investing. You need to make sure the numbers work.
Yeah, and finally, Vin, along with the team, and you touched on this a couple of seconds ago, this also involves what the state building out a new state-of-the-art practice facility in here, and then some sort of a lease-back situation here. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it could be run through the CRDA, which so many things in Hartford is sort of managed through that organization. So I'm not sure what it would look like ultimately, but they do have avenues and agencies in place that could do these kind of investments. But the money has to be appropriated, and that's a job for the legislature to figure out.
All right, Republican State House Leader Vin Candelora, North Brantford. Vin, take care, my friend. We'll chat down the road. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks. You too. Take care.
All right, there you go.